is, that's what the public is becoming, a sewer.
Yeah.
And my apologies to sewers everywhere. That's how bad it is. This stuff is really bad.
Really bad.
So the Lord put it on my heart, Lori's heart, and Leah's heart, basically all at the same time without us knowing it.
Thank you, Lord.
I didn't want to tell Lori, she didn't want to tell me. And Leah was keeping it to herself too.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it just became obvious that through the Lord was speaking that way,
yeah,
that we need to start a school.
Yeah.
And have you ever noticed that the people who say it can't be done are usually interrupted by those who are just doing it?
Yeah. Exactly. Just do it.
Just do it. Amen. Just do it. So we're doing it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, God is blessing. God is sending provision, and he has sent provision, and he is continuing to do so.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And just about the time that we started talking about it, that's when the landlord called and said, do you need that space across the hall, that big space back there?
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, we need it. Praise God. Well, we're beginning a new series today.
Okay.
I've been afraid. If you grew up in a, how many of you ever been blamed for something you didn't do? Okay, you're a friend. If you grew up in a family with more than three kids, you've been framed.
Some in the middle.
I had a goody-goody sister, and she did nothing wrong, and it all landed on me, and then all the eyes came to me. And I got blamed for a lot of stuff. So after a while, I said, well, why not be guilty? Why not be guilty? I mean, if I'm doing this, look, if I'm framed, then I'm gonna feel good about it. Amen?
Amen.
Framed. You know, if Jesus were to appear to you right now,
Lord,
he's here,
Jesus,
by the way. Because we're two or more gathered, he's here.
Yeah, amen.
So if he was to just appear to you right now and say, you know, everything that comes out of your mouth from this point forward is going to happen exactly the way you say. Ooh. Would that change your vocabulary?
Yeah.
Would the next time your back aches, would you say, oh, my back is killing me? Would you... Would you say that?
No.
Would you say, oh, my feet are just burning off? Would you say that?
No.
Mm-mm. Would you continue to say, well, you know, I'm broke. I'm always a day late, and I guess I'll always be broke. Would you say that? Especially after Dwight Stith message. But you know what? The Bible says that God framed the worlds by his word.
Yes.
You frame your world with your words.
Amen.
Now, there are things that happen that we don't have any control over. We don't have control over who, what family we were born into, where we were born, when we were born. We don't have any, there have been people, evil people, victimized. You know, there are things that you don't have control over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But none of those things took God by surprise.
Yeah.
And he has given us the keys
to the kingdom
of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You have not been left helpless.
That's right.
No matter what your situation is, and there are those who have been in bad situations. But I want you to know, God's given you the keys.
Amen.
No matter how bad your situation is, I want you to know that God loves you. You know, I mentioned that a little earlier, that God's love is like the love of a mother. Mm. I remember the story about this couple. They were in Texas, and they were farmers. And they had an only son. And he grew up, never married. He got in so much trouble that the farmer had to sell his farm and everything that he had just to pay legal fees to keep this kid out of the electric chair.
Mm.
And they had to move into what they called a retirement home back then. And he's down in the penitentiary, and the mother said to the father one day, she said, you know, we're not going to live too much longer. Why don't we go down to Huntsville and see our son, just say goodbye? Well, the husband agreed, and they went down there, and they led them back to the boy's cell. The mother started talking to him, and she put her hands through the bars and held his hands a little bit. Then the father spoke, and he said, son, I want you to know something. You're not my son. You've cost your mother and I everything that we had planned for, retirement and everything. You have cost us everything. You've robbed everything from us. You're no longer my son. I don't want you to call us. I don't want you to write us. I don't want you to contact us in any way. And he started walking away. And the mother reached through the bars again. She said, son, I know you've done wrong. I know you did wrong. I know you missed it. But I want you to know I love you.
Amen.
And I'm praying for you.
Amen.
You may have missed it. You may have said some things that can't be altered in relationship, but I want you to know God loves you.
That's right.
And if you decide to get in there and work with him, he'll work with you just like it's a brand new day.
That's right.
Just like he never did anything wrong. He paid for it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Praise God. God loves you. God loves you.
Amen.
Mm. But listen, if you carried around a recorder and recorded everything you said all day long and listened to it, I'm sure you'd find out real quick how that your words had some effect on the problems that you have in your life. David had. Psalm 39:1, he said, I will take heed to my ways and sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. He knew he needed help. David's mouth got him into problems, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it also got him into victory.
Yes.
But he said, I'm going to get a bridle and put it over my tongue, yeah. Over my mouth. The Bible says that God framed the worlds with his words. I know people don't like to hear this, but you frame your world with your words too.
Yeah.
And whether you like to hear it or not, the Bible says it, and the Bible is true. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to just coddle up to people and give them, you know, a pat on the head and make them feel good and just multiply their problems without having them address it. I mean, how can you go forward? Mm-hmm. How can you go forward in life from where you are if you don't even know how you got to where you are, if you want to go forward with any amount of expectation of good without realizing what got you in that place in the first place?
Yeah.
What formed those problems? Where did they come from? You know, why do I think this way? Why do I have these problems? Why don't people like me? Why do I have such a hard time with relationships? Why, have you ever asked yourself those?
Hmm.
You ought to stop and ask yourself those questions, because you know what? God will answer you. And he'll tell you the truth. If you're honest, and I can't say too much about being honest, if you open the Bible and you're honest with yourself and you're honest with God, you can see that your mouth got you into some kind of problems,
yeah,
along the way. It had something to do with it.
Yeah.
There was one amen and a couple of nods.
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth.
Yes.
Not to put something over you on this, no, but to liberate you, because if your words got you into that, your words can get you out of it.
Yeah.
Amen. And as soon as you start speaking God's word, as soon as you start leveling the playing field and say, hey, I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do, and I have what he says I have, and I have been seated where he says I've been seated.
Amen. Yep.
I am an authority now, and I'm going to choose my words to agree with his.
Yes.
From
Amen.
This moment on, his word is my word in my mouth.
Yes.
And I will release it and watch it grow up and become.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
New life.
That's right.
New life.
You can say amen, and you can say, oh, me. But have you ever felt like you were in some kind of a preordained frame in your life with borders and limitations? This is the frame. I'm telling you, the devil wants to put you in a frame like this, and say, you can't go here, you can't go here, you can't go, you're stuck in this frame. And you know what? He's been working on this frame ever since you were able to talk.
Yep.
Because he's used your own words against you.
Sure.
You know, you gotta understand, if you study the scriptures about words, that death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
Yes.
It says, and don't look around for somebody to blame. Because Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 says, thou art snared by the words of your mouth. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Let's put that up, Barbara. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 says, thou art snared by the words of your mouth.
Yes.
Thou art taken by the words of your mouth. If you don't give your mouth to the devil or your flesh, the devil has no inroads into your life.
Yeah,
amen.
Thou art snared with the words of who?
My mouth.
Your mouth.
You're taken. You know that word taken is a really cool word. It's a Hebrew word called lokan. And it means to seize, and it means to conquer and occupy. When an army comes in and conquers a city or a fortress, they what? They occupy it. When the devil comes into your life and conquers you, he occupies you. And guess what happens? In that fortress or in that city, is the occupants now serve the new occupants, the new army. And there are things in your life that you have let in by your words, that have taken you, that have occupied in you, and have enslaved your emotions, enslaved your mind, enslaved your will to do the devil's will. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
We're all guilty.
That's so true.
We're all guilty. I mean, we've all done this, haven't we?
Yes.
Have you gotten mad and let it rip?
Yeah.
Sure. Blown a gasket? Blown the thermometer right out? I know I have. Let's see. I'm not going to remember that because God doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
If he doesn't remember, I'm not going to remind him. And, just,
yeah. Yeah.
And if I have to think that hard about it, my conscience has been purified.
Yeah, really.
Oh, look on, to capture and occupy. Look, your words can ensnare you, but those words can set you free.
Amen.
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 Why? Because Jesus said you can have what you say.
Amen.
I said, Jesus said you can have what you
say.
Amen.
Mark 11:23.
Mark
11:23. Whosoever shall have whatsoever. Whosoever shall say. you gotta, this is addressing your words, not your prayers, not your attitudes.
Right.
This is addressing what you say. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed.
Yes. Removed.
Is there a mountain in your life right now that you've let in and you built it? Rock after rock after rock after rock. Well, you can say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea.
Amen.
And if you shall not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will come to pass, you'll have what you say.
Amen.
This works in the positive, in the blessing column, and it works in the negative, in the cursing column.
Big time.
Cursing column. Blessing column. Everybody say, I want blessing.
I want blessing.
Well, then you need to speak blessing over yourself.
Yep.
The Bible gives you a blessing. Mm-hmm. Many blessings. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Bible says that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Yep.
You know, there was a time in my life when I got real hungry to know the truth, real hungry to know God. How many of you read the Word of the Week this week?
Oh.
Two hands, okay. We send those out for you, your benefit. Those are valuable tools.
Yeah.
But anyhow, For the first 24 years of my life, I served the devil faithfully, never once spoke in tongues. Then I got saved, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they told me that that was of the devil.
Oh, wow.
They told me tongues was of the devil. Wow. You speak in tongues, you're of the devil.
Wow.
And, you know, these guys knew the Bible pretty good, too. But when it came to spiritual things, they just hit a wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there with people like that?
Yeah.
And they have to protect their doctrine, whatever.
Right.
But man, I didn't just sin. I loved it. I really did. Then I became an atheist because I didn't need a conscience to bother me anymore. I wanted to be totally free. You know. But all the time, never once spoke in tongues, and I was serving the devil. Now I'm serving God, and they're telling me I'm of the devil. So you see how that just never meets up with God. You know, when you get born again, you don't want to sin anymore. The want to, the want to is gone.
Yes.
The peace is there.
Thank
you. Just don't want to. You don't want to sin. Does that mean we don't sin?
No.
No, because the Bible says if we say we have no sin,
we deceive ourselves,
and the truth is not in us.
Right.
We all have the propensity for it, but we don't have the desire for it.
Yeah.
Big difference there.
Yeah.
But it was during that time that I got the left foot of fellowship from amongst that bunch. They invited me to leave. Because what I was saying to, I didn't have enough knowledge to really back up anything. I just knew I saw it in Acts, in the book of Acts, they did it, and it happened to me.
Yes.
So I have biblical evidence.
Yes. Right.
But they didn't have.
Yeah.
So they had to get rid of me. That's like the cancel culture now.
Yes.
You know, they don't have a good argument, so they cancel you.
Right.
They don't have any legitimate beef or legitimate argument with you, because if they're in the wrong, they don't have a legitimate beef, but they want to protect that, so they cancel you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lord, so I got the left foot of fellowship from amongst them. I felt bad.
Left foot of fellowship.
And I read this verse of scripture in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. It says, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. And I said, well, I got the spirit part right. Now, Lord, I want you to make your word known to me.
Yes.
And I started studying. And I started getting a concordance. I got one of those Strong's concordance about that thick, you know.
Yes.
And I just started, we didn't have, you know, online Bibles back then in 1976. Remember back in the 1900s?
Yes.
I mean, we didn't have horse and buggies, we had cars actually.
Yes, we did.
It was pretty primitive compared to what's going on now.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I started doing a study on words. Because I'm asking God, show me your words. Make your words known to me. Make your words. And the Bible, if you study the Bible, you're going to find that there are different words in the Greek and Hebrew for the word word. And if you study the word in Greek, the word is logos, L-O-G-O-S. Logos, it's pronounced. And what it means is the God revealed. It is the massive, total volume of the Word of God. It's God revealed, and it also means His written Word. Now, Jesus is the Logos.
Yep.
He is the Logos of God, and He is the revealed part of the Godhead. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, Logos. And the Word Logos was with God. Word Logos was God.
Yeah, he was with God.
He was in the beginning with God.
Yeah.
Right? And if you study the Bible a little further, you're going to find another word, Greek word for the word word. And that word is rhema. R-H-E-M-A.
Spirit.
And the first time it's used in the Bible is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and Jesus used it. The Logos of God used it. And Jesus was tested in the wilderness at his lowest point of physical, his greatest physical weakness and his greatest hour of temptation. Jesus rebuked Satan and said to him, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." It's important to note that Jesus didn't use the word logos. He was the logos.
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm.
He used the word rhema. That was the weapon of choice for Jesus.
Wow.
Was the rhema.
Yeah, the rhema.
Mm. Nor did he automatically overcome simply because he was the Son of God. Mm. Yeah, I had a professor once say, "Well, Jesus couldn't have been tempted. I mean, he was God." And I said, "Excuse me?"
Yeah, right.
I said, right in class, "Excuse me?" Then they shouldn't have called it temptation. But he overcame.
Amen.
He says,
right.
if he couldn't have fallen, he couldn't have been tempted.
That's right.
He had a choice. Like we. He was all God, yes, but he was all man.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
The devil tried to get him to do stuff as the Son of God.
Yeah.
Remember?
As the man.
Two tricks.
As the
Turn
man.
The stones into bread.
Yep.
Jump off the building.
Yes.
Right.
I'll give you the city.
If he did something as the Son of God, he would be illegitimate to be your substitute.
That's right.
He had to divest himself of everything. You can read about this in Philippians.
Yep. Yep.
About the I forget that it's a Greek word, the kenosis, where he had to divest himself of everything that rightfully belonged to him as the Son of God and be a man. And all the miracles that he did under his ministry, he did under the Abrahamic covenant as a prophet and a teacher, anointed with the Holy Spirit, just like the prophets were. But since he was the Logos, he knew how to use it. The maximum of his capacity as a man. Amen?
Amen.
So you've got a friend in Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
All our griefs and sins today.
Glory to God.
All my sins today. Let me take it to Jesus.
Take it to Jesus. According to some definitions, the word rhema means to quote, to speak the word of God. It's the rhema word of God that imparts faith. Faith comes, Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. You can look this up. By the spoken word of God, the spoken anointed. Some of the translations say the word of the Christ. I think the New American Standard says that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, the anointed word, the rhema of Christ.
Amen.
What is Christ? Christ said it this morning. The anointed one and his anointed. When you speak his word, the anointed one's there.
Mm-hmm.
His anointing is there.
Yeah.
To what? To do what? To fulfill it. To fulfill the word that you speak. We see time after time in the book of Acts where Paul said something. God did.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking the word is power. When you speak God's word, you are releasing power. That's what rhema is. That's when the logos becomes rhema. It's like a certain word injected into time with a purpose and a mission. And if you release it from your lips,
it shall be. Amen.
When you say it in faith, what happens? The mountain moves.
Amen.
Why? Because you said it? No, because of the anointing and the power released.
Amen.
When you release his word, his word goes to work.
Amen.
The high priestly ministry of Jesus is activated.
Mm.
And he says, "Father," oh, I'm sorry, he's at the right hand of God. "Father," that was faith. You need to do it. That was your word. You need to do it. He's your high priest. He is the mediator of the new covenant, the Lord, advocate general of the church.
Amen.
And he responds to his word. He died for the ability to be where he is to do your word.
Yes.
This is good stuff.
Yes.
You know, many people read the Logos. They live all their lives and don't have 1 ounce of faith. Why? Because they never speak the word. They never speak the rhema of God. They carry the Logos with them to church. They go home, put it on the coffee table. They put it on the passenger seat of the car. But they never bother to speak it.
Speak the word.
They never pick it up and speak it. I'm telling you something. When you speak God's word, look, you say, well, I don't know if I know the word that much. I mean, what if I don't meditate on it? One of the definitions of rhema is quote. What did Jesus do in the wilderness? He quoted it. He was so weak at that time, after 40 days of fasting, then the devil talks about bread. What a rat. And then Jesus' juices start working. He's telling me he wasn't tempted?
Yeah.
Here he... I don't have time to go there. Jesus was tempted. It was a weak point for him. But he knew what to do.
Amen.
In that weak point, you know what to do too.
Yes.
Quote it.
Yeah.
Quote it.
Yeah.
Speak it.
Yeah.
Release it.
Yeah.
Let it do its work.
Amen.
Without you speaking it, it might as well be on the coffee table or on the passenger seat inside the car. And faith will not come. Power will not be released. You need to speak the word of God. That's what it was designed to do. What do you think words are? Words, 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 words. It's time we do something with words here. Let me see. I have something here on words. Where are you? Come forth.
The word of God is the sword of the Spirit.
That's word. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It says, take the helmet and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. When you speak it, it's a sword. It's the only offensive weapon we have in the armor of God. And it is a sword, and it is powerful. It's a two-edged sword. It is a weapon that you need to learn how to use and be skillful with it. And when you're skillful with the word of God, when you're accurate with the word of God, the devil does not want to be around you. Why? Because the rhema brings light. And what does light do? It drives out the darkness.
Yes.
Also, and the darkness cannot overcome it.
Nope.
Amen. That's one of the translations.
Hallelujah.
In John chapter 1, I believe, verse 5.
Yeah.
And the darkness overcame it not. In him was life, and the life is the light of men.
Yep.
And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness overcomes it not.
Yep.
This is good stuff.
Yes.
Here's words. Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That's important. Proverbs 18:20-21, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Yeah.
That's important. Death and life and everything in between are in the power or the authority of the tongue. James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You frame your world with your words. Let me just leave this right here. This is mental anguish. This is all kinds of problems that begin and end with your mind. that take your, make your emotions and wrap them up and bring them down the road somewhere. Your words, your words, your own words snare and take you. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Proverbs 13:3 says, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life.
Yes.
But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 31:26, concerning the virtuous woman, it says her tongue is the law of kindness.
Yes.
See what's going on here? Your word, God is trying to show you that your words are valuable.
Yes.
Don't use them to destroy yourself, to destroy your family, to destroy others.
Yep.
Don't use them to destroy.
Yep.
Use them to edify, yep, to build up,
amen,
to encourage others.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm looking at you guys today, and I see the hands that serve. This is Volunteer Appreciation Sunday. The hands that serve. And, you know, God, there's so much God wants. I can just feel his heart just wanting to do so much for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I see also, like all of us, that our tongues, our mouth, our words have restricted him,
mm-hmm,
in many ways. Because it's given the devil legal license to hinder us.
Yeah.
You know, it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, I believe it is, that if a man speaks wrong to his wife, it hinders his prayer.
Yeah.
I remember Kenneth Hagin one time. He was an Assemblies of God pastor for 12 years before before the Lord revealed to him that he never was called to be a pastor. But he was a successful one. And he was at this one pastor's meeting, you know, where they were talking, you know, the preachers. You can't shut them up. And they got attitudes like everybody else. And this one pastor said, well, you know, my wife, I told her if she doesn't have 3 square meals, there's going to be the devil to pay.
Yeah.
Kenneth Hagin noticed that he died at 43.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy says, yeah, my wife, and I didn't have a home. And he died before he reached 50. Why? Because their prayers are hindered.
Mm.
You speak good of your wife, to your wife.
Yeah.
She is your queen.
Amen.
She is,
yeah,
she is your ornament, pal.
Amen.
Nobody knows that better than me.
Oh.
You're my ornament, darling.
Oh.
Matthew 15:11 says, not that which goes into the mouth defiles man. It's not food that defiles man.
Nope.
But that which cometh out of the man defiles the man.
Yeah.
Words, 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 words. Words can strengthen your faith, Romans 10:17. Words come from the heart, the spirit of man. Therefore, words have a spiritual force because they come from a spiritual source. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
So words tell others about what's going on inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You ever stop to think about that? Your words are very revealing about things that they can't see about you. In fact, the devil doesn't even know what's going on inside of you until you let him know. With your mouth. With your words. He can't read your mind. The devil can't read your mind. He can read into your actions and everything, but it's your words that he wants, because if you give him your tongue, he has a legal right.
Right. Yeah.
But if you give God your tongue, guess what? It locks him out.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Why he's so death.
True.
Who's the author of death? The devil.
Yeah.
Who's the author of life?
Jesus.
Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You have an awful lot of authority over your life.
Amen.
Words carry sorrow, grief, torment. And words also carry comfort and peace. In fact, words have the ability to transform us mentally, increase our information and knowledge base, and our understanding. Words have the ability to transform us emotionally and comfort, with comfort and peace. Words have the ability to bring healing to our physical body. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. His words are health and medicine to all your flesh.
Amen.
Words have the ability to transform us in every way that we need transformation. Whether it's our whole life, our environment, our relationships, our perception of life, our perception of how we function. God's word, his word, is what he gave us in order for us to bring about transformation in our life.
Yeah.
Simply by doing what he told us to do.
Yeah.
Forgive if you have aught against any.
Mm-hmm.
You do that, and you're kissing. You are kissing your future with blessing.
Mm.
Forgiveness is a real problem with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to forgive them. I don't care after what they did to me.
Mm.
I don't think Jesus knew that.
No.
I don't think he realized that. I think he was totally ignorant. God didn't realize that when he said, forgive if you have aught against them.
Yeah.
That makes the ground level at the cross.
Yes.
You have no right to hold anything against anybody unless you want somebody to hold it, because you're not perfect either.
Right.
If any man offend not in word or deed, he is a perfect man. Are you perfect yet?
No.
I don't think there's anybody in here perfect except for me. And I'm not. You can ask her. Oh. If you're not perfect, that's talking to you. That you offend people. That you cause people to stumble. That you do this. Mm. That's what it says in the book of James.
Mm.
Look, I'm saying this. I'm bringing all this because you frame your world with your own words.
Yep.
These are the boundaries and limitations of somebody who doesn't want to control their mouth.
Mm.
This is like being incarcerated, because that's what incarceration is.
Mm.
We see that in prisons and so forth. People who have no patience and no self-control are filled prisons.
Mm.
These are the limitations that we place on ourselves with our own words.
Yeah.
Help me! I've been framed. No, you framed yourself.
Yeah.
You framed your own world. You framed it. But again, the good news is, change your words and you obliterate that frame.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory up to you. God has given the power of binding and loosing is with men, not with God.
Mm-hmm.
You have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven.
Yes.
Don't bind God's hands.
Amen.
Bind the devil's hands.
Yes.
Don't loose the devil's hands. Loose God's blessing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, for just the wonder, knowing that we are good reapers.
Yes,
that we have a Father who watches over our seed through covenant realities that we enjoy with you. Thank you, Father, that this nation once great because it knew how to give. The churches were given liberty. The schools children in the schools were being taught not reprogrammed.
Yes.
Lord, bless this land again.
Yes.
I know that you're moving. There's evidence that you're moving in this country. I ask you to bless our new school, Caro's Patriot Academy. I pray that you bless all of the leaders and teachers and assistants and workers in that school. Thank you for supplying all the needs of that school according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The children will be rekindled with hope.
Yes.
with a future
yes.
that you have designed. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Lord, I ask your blessing on each one here and those who may listen. And I ask that your blessings and your grace and your peace be multiplied in their life. That they learn how to bless with their mouth, their life and others, and be the blessing that you are to them. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You're dismissed.
Okay.
You're empowered.
Yes.
You have a wonderful week ahead of you, a wonderful life ahead of you.
Yep.
And there's refreshments in the cafe. Just help yourself. We've got a lot of food there. And if you need prayer for anything,